The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Today on ESPN, check this out. We'll have two more Little League World Series elimination games from Williamsport. The kids from Mexico taking on Curacao at a matinee at 3 Eastern. Then under the lights is the boys from Pearland, Texas and Nolensville, Tennessee. The winners of these two games go to the International and United States Final. All right, how about a little AI candy from the Little League World Series and that team from Texas? This is Corey Kahn with a big-time home run robbery. Look at him running to the left field at the wall, grabbing it. The Texas kids went on to win on PA 8-4. And Harry Douglas with us now. Harry, what do you think about that?
Listen, I love everything about this, but I think the most impressive thing about this young man is his hair. You talk about name, image, and likeness. I need head and shoulders. Yes, I said it. Head and shoulders, I need y'all to give this man a deal. You're never too young for it. Never too young.
Never too young. We'll see him in a commercial in no time. He should be his agent. All right, love that. All right, welcome back to Get Up. We're coming to you live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. So good to have you with us. A lot of football to get to, so Chrissy, let's get right to it and say get up. This fallen star. A huge injury for Dak and the Cowboys as one of their top offensive linemen could be out for months. We're going to tell you what this means and does to their title chances. Plus, a Steel City showdown, the final week of the preseason. Pickett or Trubisky? We debate who should get the starting nod in Pittsburgh. And the clock is ticking on Lamar and the Ravens. What if they can't get a deal done before the season kicks off in just 2 weeks? We'll get into all that this morning on Get Up, but we'll start with a developing story in the NFL. The Cowboys left tackle Tyron Smith suffered a torn left hamstring in last night's practice, and it could cost him multiple months of the season. More reviews to fully determine the severity of the injury are planned for today. Now, already the Pro Bowl tackle has missed 20 games in the last 2 seasons. Dallas is nearly a full yard per play better when Smith is on the field. And not surprisingly, the Cowboys' sack rate is worse when Smith isn't there to protect his quarterback. So let's bring everybody back in. Jeff Saturday, James White with us, Harry Douglas joining us, and Diana Russini as well. And Harry, you're new, so let's bring you in and give us the impact of this injury to you.
I won't say it's significant because you just read the numbers. The last 2 years, Tyron Smith has missed 20 games. So I think the Cowboys kind of had a sense that this was going to happen at some point. Now, I will say when you're trying to get a run game going with Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard and you want Dak Prescott to have some kind of help because you do have deficiencies in the wide receiver room and on that offensive line already, missing him, he's going to miss him. Let's be honest about it. But I just think this Dallas Cowboys team, it's another hurdle that Dak Prescott and this offense has to get over. And now Dak has to be that much more better going into the season as well.
Yeah, Jeff, you're a resident lineman. I mean, how does this impact Dak in the offense?
Yeah, I mean, listen, first of all, let's say that he's a heck of a football player, been fantastic for 12 years, true all-pro and pro. So, we hate it for him. Hope he gets back as quickly as possible. As far as the impact in the totality of the season, I agree with Harry here. Listen, it's going to be much more impactful in the run game to that side. When you're talking about a yard difference, it doesn't sound like a lot. That's an enormous amount. So what he does on that side, the physicality he plays at left tackle has been superb. The other part, Himbo gave me the stat early this morning, is in play action pass. They are 30% less effective when he is not on the field. So when you talk about how does that impact the quarterback, most play actions with a right-handed quarterback, that is a true one-on-one block. You are putting the left tackle on the end. There's a saying in football, tackles block ends. On play action, he's going to go block him by himself. That's where you take shots. You want to push the ball down the field, so you have to hold it a little bit longer. I think that's the area that's going to be most affected. As far as just pure known down and distance when they're going to get pass rushers, it's not like he's played excellent at that position really over the last couple years. So I think they'll be able to figure it out through scheme, how to help whoever that is, make sure that Dak's not getting undue pressure. But it's a loss for them. I don't think it changes the outlook of their season as much as the name may hit us here at home.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say it doesn't change the outlook of their season. Diana, how are the Cowboys preparing to handle this absence?
Yeah, I wish I had one of those maps that we used to have in science class. Remember, guys, they'd pull it down and be like the human body and point out all the different parts. I feel like if we were to show Tyron Smith, there'd be a lot of issues, right? Because he's had so many injuries over the last five seasons. Fortunately, I don't have that map. And it's unfortunate for him, but for the Dallas Cowboys, they've been aware that he's been very injury prone since 2015. So they've drafted knowing that this is going to be a problem. So now they just really need to sort out how to get these young guys up to speed and how to figure out how to replace them. Jeff did a great job of laying out his impact when he's on the field, when he is healthy. But this is really not just going to fall on Dak. This is going to fall on the running backs and the tight ends and pretty much the scheme here to try to continue to help protection, because that's going to be a big part of their run game, which we know is going to be crucial this season. Mike McCarthy talked about it. They're going to try to run it back, try to make it look a little bit like 2016, 2017. Don't think we'll get that version of Zeke, but that's the kind of run game they need, and that's why this offensive line and the protection has got to be really important.
James, what's it like in the locker room when situations like this happen? You're on offense, close to the season. How does it play out?
It's definitely tough to see a veteran guy like that go down, a guy that's been in the locker room for, you know, quite some time. But I think the timing is right for the injury. Those young guys that they drafted and the rest of the guys can get those extra reps during training camp, get some game reps, and I think they'll be fine. I think they'll scheme up ways to, you know, get Dak outside the pocket, help those young guys, chips inside, chip in the defensive ends, and they'll find a way to get it done. I think the timing is just perfect for this.
Yeah, I love the point about the timing, and I think James makes an excellent point here. When you're talking about it, you hate to lose anybody anytime, but if you are, this is the appropriate time for the best benefit of the team, right? Because now you do have, you know, you got a couple of weeks before the season even cranks up. You understand who's going to take the spot. They're getting reps with Dak, the cadence, what the expectations are. They will now start to implement real game plans, so they'll see how they're going to kind of feature that position. I think all of those things go in, as opposed to losing him in week 14 or whatever that looks like, trying to make a playoff push and losing a guy. If you're going to do it, you know, it's awful anytime, but now is a much better time for the team.
At least they have time to prepare for
That's
it.
Right.
They drafted Tyler Smith this year, thinking he was the long-term answer. He might have to step up a little bit sooner. We'll see how that plays out. Now, a reminder, First Take is at the Star in Frisco, Texas this morning, 10 a.m. You don't want to miss it. Molly, Stephen A., Michael Irvin. Special guests include Jerry Jones and Dez Bryant. What a show that's going to be. All right, last week of the preseason begins tonight. Let's call it the final dress rehearsal, shall we? Harry, what do you have your eye on?
For me, it's going to be Carolina Panthers and Baker Mayfield. When you think about the Browns and where he came from, that was like a bad hangover, right? But now he's with the Carolina Panthers. He gets to go to Vitaflow, get that IV, get that B12 shot, revitalize his career a little bit more. I want to see if he's going to be able to have control of the line of scrimmage, bring this new energy to the Carolina Panthers, and make sure that he's secure and have a job moving forward.
Okay, James, what can't you wait to see?
Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think everybody in that building was kind of excited to get Urban Meyer out of there. I don't think that was the perfect fit, but now you got Doug Peterson in there, offensive-minded head coach. I think it's going to be big for Trevor Lawrence. I know he had a disappointing rookie year, but I think he's going to go out there and show this year that he can be that quarterback that we saw at Clemson, though, making those throws and being electric out there. So I'm excited to watch them.
That could make this a very, very good team. Jeff, how about you?
I'm going Trey Lance here. Listen, when I think about a NFC team that could push for a Super Bowl that kind of everybody is overlooking at this point, I think it's Trey Lance and this 49er football team. If he can do what Shanahan and John Lynch expect him to do, this will be a very difficult team. He can do a multitude of things from the pocket. He can do it outside the pocket. He can beat you with his legs. I think that's what Shanahan has been looking for his whole career. He's finally got it. I mean, you think when he was in Washington with RG3 and Cousins, they led the league in rushing. Then you go Jimmy G. They don't have a lot of zone read. He can do it a bunch of different ways. With Trey Lance, you don't know what you're going to get. I'm excited to see what he does.
So what do you need to see from Lance tonight in the preseason finale?
Great question. Command of the offense, right? I need to see your presence. When you hit that, you know, James and I talked about having Peyton Manning and Tom Brady in our huddles and what that looks like. I want to see him command this offense. When he walks in, I want to see him own it. This is my team. This is my huddle. Here's how we're going to do it. They're going to take some shots. You're going to see this defense take some shots down the field. but make sure it's in rhythm. You want to see them convert some convert some first downs, hopefully score, but efficiency is key in the preseason. Get in, get out, be efficient, but I want to see command of the offense from Trey Lance.
Harry, what do you think? What do you need to see from Lance?
I'll say for me, I think one of the struggles that Trey Lance had last year is understanding, yes, he had a strong arm, but when to utilize that strong arm. If you have little four or five shallow routes coming across the field, you don't need to throw that football 100 miles per hour, right? Understand KYP, know your personnel. If it's a running back, if it's a tight end, if it's a receiver, know how you need to put, I'll say, muscle on that football or less than it can get to them and they can actually catch it and not drop it.
All right, yeah. James?
I think it's efficiency, you know, getting the ball to your receivers, getting the ball to your backs, getting the ball to your tight ends, and just controlling the offense as a young guy. At first, you know, you're the new guy in the huddle, but he's had a year in the system.
That's right.
Now it's your time to step up.
But if he lays a dud tonight, how concerned are you?
I'm a little concerned because, you know, for younger guys, I think it's very important in the preseason to kind of get your reps and kind of get it going, and that kind of sets you up for success in the regular season. So I think it's very important for him to, you know, ride that wave and have a smooth transition into the regular season.
Okay, concerned but not alarmed, not making a change, nothing like that.
No.
Okay, so Diana, we're 2 weeks away from the season beginning. We talk about Jimmy G all the time. How quickly could we see Jimmy G moved? What's the situation there?
Ryan, I know what you were just doing there with James. You were trying to get to Jimmy. You were trying to say Trey Lance lays an egg tonight. Jimmy's staying on this team. I know, everyone's obsessed with Jimmy G here. It's a theme of the show. That being said, so here's the scenario timeline-wise, right? So roster cuts are on August 30th. That's in 5 days, all right? So if Jimmy Garoppolo is on this roster starting week one, San Francisco 49ers are going to owe him that $26.75 million guaranteed. That's a lot of money. That's a big hit on their cap. Are they willing to do it? Kyle Shanahan says they're going to make that decision and discuss this on August 30th to figure out what they want to do. The reality is, they have said this over and over. This is Trey Lance's team. They are moving on from Jimmy. They have turned the page. As much as he's a great insurance policy, and he is, the 49ers want to move on. They want to move forward here. And obviously, he costs a lot of money. So is there a world where Jimmy G gets cut? We said no for months. But yes, there is some truth that could be on the table if they don't get a trade opportunity here between now and August 30th.
Yeah, let me just say this from what Diana is saying. When you talk about pressure from a quarterback, the worst thing you want is somebody on his heels. We talk about it with Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, right? The fans are screaming for the guy who, because the second quarterback is always the crowd favorite, right? Because he's always going to do something miraculous. So if Trey Lance struggles, you don't want everybody screaming for Jimmy G if you're John Lynch and Shanahan.
But shouldn't he have the mindset of, hey, it doesn't matter if they're screaming?
Don't we talk about that with other guys? It's his team, but I'm just telling you, that's not the way it works in the real world. You go in the locker room, you go, and all of a sudden you start getting little foxes and little divisions. You can't have that in the locker room. So I would say your question, exactly like Diana's point, you were trying to get to that, yeah, it'll be Jimmy G. That is not what they want to be dealing with. Because, listen, Trey Lance is going to struggle some this year. He is going to struggle.
Kyle Shanahan has dealt with having two quarterbacks.
Absolutely.
Who can play, right? You brought up Robert and Kirk Cousins. I was there for those years. And you know, Robert's our colleague now, and I know he would share this. It was not easy
having
a quarterback like Kirk Cousins sitting on your shoulder. Yes, competition breeds success, and the great one should be able to deal with that, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is quarterbacks want the team to be theirs. They want to be able to focus on what they need to do and not always having to look behind them, you know, and also thinking of Washington, obviously we know Trent Williams, the left tackle now in San Francisco, he played with Kirk Cousins and Robert Griffin III, and he recently said that Trey Lance raises the level of play. This is Trent Williams, the best left tackle in the game, talking about a young quarterback like this. I put some value to that.
Wow. All right. Well, it's his team. Rise or fall. We're going to ride with that, it sounds like. We'll see how it plays out. Coming up, Steel City Showdown, final week of the preseason. Whose team is it in Pittsburgh? Kenny Pickett's or Mitch Trubisky? Who should Mike Tomlin be starting at quarterback? We'll talk about that. And the clock is ticking on Lamar and the Ravens. What if they can't get a deal done before the season kicks off in just 2 weeks? Ooh, that could make it interesting in Baltimore. We'll be back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
The crowds are already starting to gather at the Star in Frisco, Texas. Look at them go. Don't miss First Take Live this morning at 10 a.m. You don't want to miss it. Molly, Stephen A., Michael Irvin, special guest Jerry Jones, Dez Bryant, and a lot more. What a show that's going to be. Now, let's play a little game of right or wrong, AFC North edition. James, the Ravens will win the AFC North, right or wrong?
I think it's right. I know everybody likes the Bengals because of what they did last year, but I think Lamar Jackson, he's out to prove something this year. I know he has a contract situation going on, but I think he has an MVP-type caliber season. Get a lot of their guys back healthy. I think they win the division.
What about for the Bengals? What about that? Harry, Joe Burrow and the Bengals have the best offense in the NFL, right or wrong?
I'm going to go wrong. Even though a lot of people and myself was very close to picking them, I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills. You look at this team last year in the National Football League, they were 5th in total offense, 3rd in scoring. You have a guy like Josh Allen who's a dual threat who happened to have over 750 yards rushing as well. But you look at the additions. You drafted a James Cook. You brought over O.J. Howard to pair him up with a Dawson Knox in the tight end position. I like Gabriel Davis and his emergence, so I'm going with the Buffalo Bills.
Okay, all right, that makes sense. And Jeff, the Browns should trade for Jimmy G, right or wrong?
Wrong. Listen, you know you have certainty now with the Deshaun Watson situation, the punishment of being 11 games. You also know you have Jacoby Brissett. This is not a year that you want to bring in a competing quarterback again. We just talked about this. You don't want something that's going to cause a split or a divide in your locker room, right? You just have to ride the wave until Deshaun Watson comes your quarterback in week 11 or 12 and deal with it there. You're going to trade for Jimmy G. Jimmy G needs his own team and wants his own team. I think it would be ill-fated they tried that.
Such a nice guy. Somebody give Jimmy G a home.
For sure.
Diana, the Steelers will miss the playoffs, right or wrong?
Wrong. They're going to make the playoffs. Here's why. They've got a superb defense, a very expensive one, the most expensive one in the NFL. But they've got players, and they've got Mike Tomlin. I don't know why we're overlooking him. I don't know we're not talking enough about how Mike Tomlin knows how to lead. They know how to figure it out. And look, let's see what happens with Mitchell Trubisky. I know we keep talking about how quick are we going to see Kenny Pickett. What if Mitchell Trubisky goes out there and plays well and they're able to be productive? I think they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. We always look at the negative. Who knows what he might do? Now, speaking of the Steelers, Mitchell Trubisky, Kenny Pickett both spoke on Wednesday and provided their pitches to be the starting quarterback. Take a listen.
Yeah, for sure. I think I have just how I carry myself every day, what I've done on the practice field. Would like to do more last game, obviously, but hopefully get another opportunity this week to show why I should be in.
I'm going to play my ass off and then, you know, let the coaches, I trust them 100%. Whatever they think is best for the team, that's what we're going to roll with, and I'll be the best at whatever I can do.
All saying the right things. Diana, what's the very latest coming out of Pittsburgh?
All right, so while this competition is heating up and all you hear are great things about this rookie, I was told by a Steelers source last night that this is Mitchell Trubisky's job to lose. He is the starter in Pittsburgh, as good as Kenny's playing. And the organization has been very impressed with Pickett's play on the field and his overall knowledge in the classroom. But for now, this is Trubisky's job.
Okay, so Harry, I want you to make your case on this one. Kenny Pickett should start game one in Pittsburgh. Why?
Well, number one, he's not the normal rookie coming into the National Football League. He spent 10 years in college, not literally, but it seems like he spent 10 years. Now, I want to take everyone back to 2004, right? Where a rookie quarterback named Ben Roethlisberger joined the Pittsburgh Steelers. He didn't start game one, but he came in game two, I think, when Maddox got hurt. We all know how that played out for this franchise and this organization. Now, I'm not saying that this 2022 Pittsburgh Steelers are anything like the 2004 Steelers, but I'm just saying, when you have a guy like Kenny Pickett and he has the intangibles, go ahead and let him start because he's not your normal rookie.
Ooh, good argument. I'm convinced. All right, James, make your case. Mitchell Trubisky should start. Why?
I think Mitchell Trubisky should start because the offensive line. The offensive line isn't the greatest. You know, Mitch Trubisky gives him another element. Mm-hmm. He's very athletic. He can get outside the pocket. He can scramble. When that offensive line breaks down, he can get out of the pocket and rush for 10, 20 yards or throw the ball down the field. So I think he gives him that dynamic. He can do a little bit of read option action. And he hasn't done anything wrong to lose the job. So I think he's more than deserving a start in week one. I know Kenny Pickett will be probably coming in there around probably like week four or so because the crowd will be screaming for him as soon as Mitch Trubisky messes up. So I think Mitch has earned the right to start.
I'll let you be the judge. What's your ruling?
I'm going Trubisky here. Let me just bring everybody back just a little bit, right? Like, Kenny Pickett has dominated in preseason against light competition. That's just a fact, right? When he's playing, there are other guys, so he should look good. And I'm glad he is, and he is an ascending quarterback, and it will be his team. Now let's take Mitchell Trubisky. This guy with Matt Nagy took the Bears to the playoffs twice. Right? Two times. I mean, he was 25-13 as a starter. Like this guy understands how to win in the NFL. Then he was in Buffalo chilling behind Josh Allen. He's seen Josh Allen do it. This guy can bring something to this football team. If he's not losing the job, if he hasn't done something to lose the job, I would tell you, I would ride with Trubisky until you know for sure. Listen, Kenny Pickett's going to get a lot of different looks come week four, week five from defenses, especially in the division he plays in. So just understand, it looks great right now. I would stick, again, James made a great point about the offensive line, with Trubisky until you know Pickett is ready to step in and take that role up.
Harry, you're looking a little perplexed there. What's going on?
Yeah, just a little bit, because we got to be careful when we say Mitchell Trubisky took the Chicago Bears somewhere. Now, they also had a great defense that allowed the Chicago Bears to go places,
exactly,
which was the playoffs. We got to remember that.
Yeah, Steelers do too. That's what I'm saying. Ride with team. That's right. That's right.
Go ahead, Diana.
Oh, I was just adding, that's what the Steelers have too. So it works out great. This is where Mitchell's has a template that's a little similar to what he had in Chicago in terms of just having a really strong defense behind him, or at least on the other side, to help him out there. So Mitchell Trubisky's job, and we'll see how far he can go. And by the way, I love that James always picks week four as the time for a quarterback change. So, James, come week four, we're going to have you back on the show. That
rearranging
that you're making here, because you have no patience, James.
Just like fans all across the NFL, they say thank you to James White. All right, coming up, fly, Eagles, fly. Love saying that. The Eagles counting on Jalen Hurts to make the NFC East run. But can they be a sneaky Super Bowl contender? And don't miss it at the top of the hour. First Take, live from the Star in Dallas. Stephen A. and the Cowboys fans facing each other on TV. But first, a little sneaky Hembo time for Jeff Saturday. Ooh. Jeff, which quarterback has rushed for the most TDs over the last two seasons? You know when he rubs his beard, that
this
means
is, this is my
thinking.
This is my ponder. How does it look? My acting.
Jeff,
a little pondering.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
A reminder, First Take at the Star in Frisco, Texas this morning, 10 a.m. You don't want to miss it. Molly, Stephen A., Michael Irvin, special guest Jerry Jones, Dez Bryant, and a lot more. Can't wait to see that. But let's get back to a little sneaky Hembo time. This one for Jeff. Which quarterback has rushed for the most touchdowns over the last two seasons?
Let me just tell y'all why I hate Hembo. My head has been spinning since I saw this question. So I've worked my way down through. I'm not going Lamar because I think he's trying to bait me, right? Mm-hmm. I believe it's Josh Allen, but I'm going to wait. I thought about Tannehill. I thought about Jalen Hurts. Yep. I even thought about Tom Brady. Yep. The short down, short distance. He's a master at it. I'm going to go Josh Allen, and that's my
final answer. Say Josh Allen.
All right.
And we would be wrong.
Oh.
Guess who it is?
Oh, word. That's so dirty, bro.
That is so dirty.
That is so dirty.
Look at him. Just checked you off the list.
I needed Grimes here for that. That's trash.
That is a hard one.
That's terrible.
Josh Allen was third with 14, Kyler Murray 16, and then Tannehill after Allen. But wow.
Look at that.
I never would have gotten that.
I never. No chance.
Too sneaky.
Yeah, I was.
All right, Jeff, let's get to this. The top five questions you want answered, starting with number five.
Let's go number five. This is going to be Jameis Winston. How does he come back from his injury? Listen, he started last year. He was on fire. This guy has got it. This is probably the best or either the top roster or second best roster, in my opinion, in the NFL. They are loaded. We've seen what they did to Tampa Bay, who won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. This is a very good football team. I like Winston, but can he come back from that health, and what can he do to spur his team to a potential playoff or Super Bowl victory? That's going to be number five. Number four, Bucs offensive line. Listen, I get it. I get Tom Brady. We're talking about one of the best teams in the NFC, again, along with the Saints, in my opinion. Can those 2,000 snaps that he had with that interior three be replaced, right? I understand they plan for it a bit. They have ideas of who's going to play each one. They brought in Shaq Mason to be that right guard who he's familiar with. I have concern, especially deep balls down the field. Tom Brady's as good as it is. Dink and dunk early in the season, then progress of getting his team to play better toward the latter part of the season. But that Bucs O-line for me is something I'm definitely watching. Number three, Packers wide receivers. Now, listen, when you look at their starters, you understand they have good. Cobbie, he's been there with him, and Aaron brought him back. That's important. When he is speaking the frustration that he has about poor route running, about not competing and making the catch, about dropping balls, those are things that when guys get more pressure, they seem to get tighter, right? It's not like they're playing loose and free, right? Like Harry knows, like, you know, when you're talking about really your players really trying to go out and work hard, it's not that thing all of a sudden becomes a little bit of a greased wheel. Right? You can't put your hands on it. A little bit concerned there for Green Bay and what they're going to do. Second to me is Cowboys wide receivers. Now, listen, we know we're coming off an injury. We know we let go of Amari Cooper. Now we're talking about the offensive line injuries. Can the wide receiver, the skill position, this is the number one offense in the league last year. Like, Kellen Moore's done a great job. Dak Prescott can do his deal. I am concerned as who's going to step up. We know CeeDee Lamb's going to be that, but we also know defense is going to take out that number one, double them, make it really difficult to find that. Who else is going to really step up? And will Gallup come back from injury? How quick will he go back to form? Those things for me are going to be a big issue for Dallas, and we're talking about Philly now pushing. And then finally, Jalen Hurts. We are now talking about the Eagles supplanting the Cowboys in the NFC East, and people, even you just talked about it, making a Super Bowl run. That dude is the key. They have the best offensive line and defensive lines in the NFC East, maybe in the NFL, you could make an argument. This is a huge deal. Can Jalen Hurts be the guy when it's known down in distance and you know they have to pass from the pocket? Can he do enough to take this team to the point of playoffs and Super Bowl victory? That's going to really determine their season.
All the pieces are there. Everybody on paper, it looks really great. But the thing is, the quarterback has to be not just good, but great.
That's right.
To meet those kinds of aspirations. So, Harry, I ask you, if Hurts is great this season, does that make the Eagles a Super Bowl contender?
I believe so. I think Jeff just mentioned the most important thing. You look at the last two Super Bowl winners. You look at the offensive line and D-line. Those games were won in the trenches. You see Aaron Donald making a play at the end of the game to seal it for the Los Angeles Rams last year. But then the year before, you've seen Patrick Mahomes get harassed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive line. Things are won in the trenches. You see a guy like Jalen Hurts. I think he has the best tight end in the NFC East, the best offensive line. If not in football, they're top two, maybe top three. You look at the number one rushing offense. The most important piece for me, though, is adding a guy like A.J. Brown, and you see it in the practice tape. When you add a guy with a catch radius like A.J. Brown that you can just throw the football up to, and no matter who's around him and who's on him, he's going to come down with that. Like a lot of people call it 50-50 ball. I call it not 100-100. I call it 100-100 ball. So when you got A.J. Brown, you can throw that 100-100 ball to. I like Jalen Hurts' chances this year.
Yeah, and that's something we desperately needed last year. That was the thing. We needed that go-to guy that would not drop anything.
Not we, they.
Well, they.
Okay. You're showing the homer. I'm just letting everybody else.
He got me.
You know what I mean? He got me.
Let me talk about this team's schedule. First four games, Lions, Vikings at Philly, Commanders, Jaguars. That is a favorable schedule, yes, and that's sir. Being very, very modest. Will the Eagles start out hot out of the gate? What happens if they don't?
I think they start off hot out of the gate. That's a favorable schedule. I can see them being 3-1 or 4-0. Like I said, I think it's highly dependent on Jalen Hurts. He has all the leadership qualities. He has all the heart. Now he needs to go out there from a down-to-down basis, game-to-game basis, show that you can be a in-the-pocket passer. We know you can get outside the pocket and make all those plays. But when teams know you're throwing the ball, you just got to go out there and do it. I think he can.
Okay, and Diana, I look at this team again. We talked about it earlier. This team goes as Jalen Hurts goes. What do you make of all of this and how Jalen Hurts is doing so far to try to prove that he's great?
Well, I'm hearing a lot of really good things coming out of Philly during camp here, and I do think the key is going to be his comfort in the pocket. Remember, this is his second year with head coach Nick Sirianni in this offense, which I don't think we can, you know, overstate just that importance of just having another year under his belt with this head coach. It changes so much. And Sirianni did a really good job in his rookie head coaching debut. But just the comfort he has calling plays, being part of the Philadelphia Eagles organization and applying it to Jalen Hurts and knowing what he needs. And we saw little snippets of some good and some okay so far in the preseason. But this is something that, look, when you have a mobile quarterback like Jalen Hurts, coaches are always sharing with me that they want to be really careful with making sure you don't take their strength to try to change them into something that they're not. And no matter what happens, Jalen Hurts is always going to be that athletic type of quarterback that wants to escape the pocket, and trying to coach him up and teach him to sit and stay and be patient and to stay in the pocket is a challenge, and it's going to be. And we'll be able to see it on display and if he's able to live up to that this at the start of the season, because that's going to be an important part of him.
Absolutely. We'll see that very soon. Now, speaking of quarterbacks, let's go to Tampa, where Tom Brady, he didn't practice on Wednesday, and you heard Jeff just talking about him. He took a Veterans Day off and all of that. And so Tom Brady, the maintenance day, you make sense, right? But you look at Tom Brady, and he's got this offensive line situation. So the question becomes, what is happening with Tom Brady and that line, and what does this Veterans Maintenance Day mean? Now, there's a little tweet here from Dan Orlovsky talking about the offensive line. The issue with all the Buccaneers' offensive line injuries and departures is Brady leads the NFL in downfield completions since getting to Tampa. The number one reason for that has been how good the offensive line has been. Might not be an option anymore with this line. Interesting point. James, you look at that. What do you make of Dan? What Dan says?
I think the down-the-field game is still going to be there. May do it a little bit less. Tom's going to find ways to get the balls out of his hands. He's going to be on those guys who are going to step in for those injured guys and, you know, guys that got signed with other teams. And he's going to handle it just fine. They'll use chips. They'll use, you know, play action. I know he loves the little crosses across the middle on the play action. They'll get it to Kyle Rudolph. They have backs who can catch the ball out of the backfield. They're going to be okay. I think they're going to have to adjust. But you have great receivers, Mike Evans, Julio Jones, Chris Godwin. Those guys make plays. Obviously, their health is in question. You know, Julio Jones hasn't played a full season in a long time. Mm-hmm. Chris Godwin's coming off injury. So there's a question marks there, but I think Tom Brady has the whole situation under
control. Okay, so you don't sound worried. Diana, you talked to Todd Bowles about this last week. Was he worried?
No, he sounds like James, actually. He has no concerns because he has Tom Brady. But also because he says the competition in camp has been so good. And they drafted knowing that there's going to be some concerns, some health issues. Remember, they didn't think Ryan Jensen was coming back this year. Right. So they had already moved on from him. So they had a bit of a plan in place here. You know, and James, if you don't mind, I want to ask you, you know, players on defense always tell me whenever they're facing Tom Brady that like any quarterback, he hates getting hit. He gets really skittish. He's not comfortable. So if we start seeing Brady get hit a lot, what's his reaction? What did you see in New England?
Well, he's definitely going to start getting on those offensive linemen. He's going to be using some choice words out there, stuff that I can't say on TV. But you'll see that Tom Brady who goes on the sideline and goes to his lineman and gets him fired up, get him going, because he doesn't want to get hit. My guy's 45 years old. I wouldn't want to get hit at 45 years old. So, look, he did it last year. He had his best season at the age of 44. This guy is the ultimate competitor. He's going to find a way to get it done.
It's a great point. Does he get skittish, though?
Every quarterback gets skittish when guys are falling off their legs.
Look at Jeff. Absolutely. All I guess the nature
now
of
you sound like Jeff.
Everyone wants to hit the fetal position. As soon as stuff gets near their feet or touch it, drop. Yeah. Just drop and get in. Yeah, there, no doubt. I think you made a great point about his level of comfort, and Diana did as well. Listen. It's going to take time, right? He had 2,000 snaps with this group of interior three.
Yeah.
They have drafted to help them. They understand what the concerns are. Tom Brady, I think on average, Himbo told me 4.5 hits per game. In 25 years, this guy knows how to get rid of the ball. He can play dink and dunk. He can use his running backs in the passing game, tight ends. He understands. And don't believe he ain't going to push the ball down the field, because he will find ways to get shots. He understands what's going to happen before the play starts. I don't have a concern about him being able to advance the football.
Harry, what's your level of concern with this?
I have a tiny bit concern, but the thing that I'm optimistic about is that this is not happening 2 or 3 days or a day before the regular season starts. It's 17 days until week one when they're playing on Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas, right? That's 4 days short of 3 weeks. You have some time, and I'll continuously say this. Your biggest ally right now, if you're the offensive line for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or if you're any coach on that coaching staff, is that defensive line is so doggone good that you can make sure that these guys are ready by making them go against each other in practice every day and not taking it easy on them, because when they get into the game against stellar competition, it's not going to be easy. But force those guys to go against Akeem Hicks, who I think, when healthy, is the second best behind Aaron Donald, nastiest and most physical defensive lineman in the National Football League. You had Vita Vea. The guy lost a doggone tooth. Who in the hell smiles on the sideline when you lose a damn tooth? Unbelievable. I would have told Coach, I'm not even going back in the game. But Vita Vea, he just throws his helmet on and goes back in the football game. That's crazy to me.
But you make a great point. They will be tested, coached up, getting ready for the game by one of the best defenses in the league. It's a great, great point. Mm-hmm. Coming up, the clock is ticking on Lamar and the Ravens. What if they can't get a deal done before the season kicks off in just 2 weeks? We will talk about that. And First Take, coming up next, live from the Star in Frisco, Texas. Stephen A's ready for these Cowboys fans. Molly joining them, as well as Michael Irvin, Jerry Jones, Dez Bryant, everybody getting involved. It's Must See First Take next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. Well, we got 2 weeks until the NFL season, so let's play a little game of 2 week notice. James, who are you putting on 2 weeks notice?
Has to be Carson Wentz. He's a guy who's bounced around the past 2 years. He got traded to the Colts last year. Mm-hmm. Now he got traded to the Commanders. Maybe his final chance at being a starting quarterback in this NFL. So,
got to. And then the other side of this is Lamar Jackson, who we're looking at on screen right there. Lamar Jackson, by the way, you talk about quarterbacks and big time concerns and fan bases. He said week one of the regular season is the absolute deadline for making a deal. So you got 2 weeks to get this thing done. Diana, what are you hearing about the latest in Lamar Jackson's contract negotiations?
Yeah, not much. We just know this sort of Lamar Jackson, I guess you can call it a deadline, right? It's nothing legal. It's just what he told the organization that, you know, I'm not going to negotiate after week one. And, you know, the question you posed here is, you know, who are you putting on notice? I'm putting the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson on notice. We don't have a lot of time here, and it's going to be really hard to watch a Ravens game if Lamar Jackson steps on the field and plays, knowing that the risk of him getting injured is there and could affect how it plays out for him in the future. You know, both sides, they're invested in one another. They want to make this work. We know Baltimore has tailored their entire team to fit Lamar Jackson. They are Lamar Jackson, right? It's just, can they come to an agreement here? Otherwise, that fan base is going to be watching every game, I think, like this.
No kidding. How much should he get paid and how much?
I think he should be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. And I'll say this, Lamar Jackson is one of one, a one of one type of player, generational talent. As he goes, that team goes. If Lamar Jackson's not on that team, I don't think they're, you know, it's a playoff contender. So
here are the top paid quarterbacks. He should make more than $230 million that Deshaun's making.
I think so. He's a one of one generational talent. And I love what I see from the guy. He can throw the ball. He can run it better than some teams running back. So you got to pay the guy.
Wow. Harry, what do you think?
Do not step on that football field, Lamar Jackson, if you don't have the deal and the money you want. A lot of people ask me, should Lamar Jackson go on that football field and play? Y'all want to know what my reply is? Hell to the no. Please don't do it. Please.
Yep. Jeff, what do you think? Should he, I like it. He's got some pipes, too. What do you think? Should he play if he doesn't have a deal in place?
Ooh, that'd be tough for me. I wouldn't play if I were him. Let me just say that this is my problem with this whole thing is – Diana said, the Ravens want to get the deal done. Lamar wants to get the deal done. The deal should be done. Like, I'm not sure how – if both sides say they want to get the deal done and they're going to get – I don't understand why we haven't got the deal done. So I'm going to say, because I always side with players and I will never stop siding with players, that the Ravens got to get the deal done. Like, get the guy – you know, get it inked, whatever the number is. If it's the highest paid and you feel that strongly about Lamar Jackson, then you have to make it. What it tells me from the outside looking in is – They're not sure they want to get that deal done at that number. That's what it tells me through negotiation. You know, sometimes the things that are left unsaid are spoken the loudest.
And Diana, this is a very unique offseason because we saw Deshaun Watson, who didn't play at all last year, get $230 million guaranteed.
Right.
I wonder if this is impacting what Lamar Jackson is trying to do, because I can see the team arguing, hey, that was an aberration. You should be a little closer to Kyler Murray.
Oh, don't wonder. Don't wonder at all, because it's facts. And this is why there's a lot of owners in the league that are very angry with the Cleveland Browns for giving that kind of contract to Deshaun Watson, because this has now changed the market. And Lamar Jackson is worth more than Kyler Murray. I don't think we're going to debate that right now. So where does that put him at? And you know, Aaron Rodgers' money, $50 million a year, makes sense to me.
Wow. And you look at it, and now you wonder, what's Joe Burrow going to ask for soon? What are some of these other guys going to ask for soon? That contract changed everything, and teams are probably shaking in their boots. All right, Diana,
yesterday's
Harry,
price is not today's price.
Look at them both saying it at the same time. Harry and Diana, great job. These guys will stay here. And let me tell you what's coming up on ESPN. Check this out. ESPN in the app. We're going to have two more Little League World Series elimination games from Williamsport. The kids from Mexico taking on Curacao in the matinee at 3 Eastern. Then under the lights, it's the boys from Berlin, Texas and Nolensville, Tennessee. The winners of these games will go on to the International and United States Final. And First Take coming up next, live from the Star in Frisco, Texas. Look who's got the hat on. Stephen A's there. Molly's ready. Michael Irvin, joined by Jerry Jones, Dez Bryant. It's must-see First Take next. First Take coming up next, live from the Star in Frisco, Texas. Look at that crowd getting fired up for Stephen A. He's already got the cowboy hat on. Molly's joining them, as is Michael Irvin. They're going to be joined by Jerry Jones, Dez Bryant, and so many more. It's must-see First Take right after us. And let's finish with the story of the day, them Cowboys and Cowboys left tackle Tyron Smith suffering a torn left hamstring in Wednesday's practice that could cost him multiple months of the season. More reviews to fully determine the severity of the injury are planned for today. But here's what our Marcus Spears had to say about that on Twitter when he heard the news. No way, man, no way. And look at all those sad faces. He's real sad. Guys, Jeff Saturday, talk to me about this. You're a lineman. How big could this injury be for this team?
Yeah, it's a big injury. And listen, I'm sad as well. You're talking about one of the best left tackles in the game over the past decade. Not playing, that hurts. But I think it's going to be more impactful in the run game. They're less than a yard better. I mean, they're a yard better when he's on the field running to the left side. Play action, they're 30% better, which is significant, especially when you want to take deep shots down the field. He's that you're blocking one-on-one isolation type block. But they'll figure this thing out. He's missed a lot of games, 20 games in the last two seasons. They've prepared for this. So I think if it's going to happen, now is the time.
James, is this a big enough injury to say cost them one game, two game, anything like that?
I don't think so. I think the timing is right. These young guys are getting their practice in, and they'll be ready to go. They'll find ways to help those guys out, move Dak outside the pocket. He'll get rid of the ball quickly. It may affect the running game a little bit with Tony Pollard, Ezekiel Elliott, but I think those guys will still be fine. They'll find ways to get it done.
You count them as the favorites in the NFCs?
Yeah, they're still the favorites for me just because Dak Prescott, like I said, he's getting better and better every year, and this is the year for him. He doesn't have all the receivers from the past. He'll go out there and prove that he can still be elite.
Yeah, and they led the league, I think, in the offense last season, right? I mean, this is a team that, Dak had 37 touchdowns. I mean, this is still a very good football team. And, again, they've transitioned or understood the transition at left tackle was going to have to occur. You talked about them drafting Smith to come out and potentially replace Tyron Smith, whether this year or next year. They had these pieces and kind of ideas in their head. This is still a very good football team, and they beat up on the Eagles 5 of 6 times. Yeah, I'm still looking at this team to be the favorites as well.
And by the way, Adam Schefter just tweeted that Tyron Smith is out indefinitely and unlikely to return before December.
Dang.
Before December.
That's a bummer.
You hear that, James, and what do you think?
That's a long time.
That's brutal.
But like I said, the timing is right for the injury so those young guys can step in and get the practice.
Okay, we certainly wish him a speedy recovery. Absolutely. Tough injury for the Cowboys. Tough situation for them. But Stephen A., Molly, the whole First Take crew down there at the Star.
Yeah.
They're up next. See you later.